So last week I was talking about, and I shared about my relationship with my friend Glenn, that we really hadn't been in contact. So Wednesday night I'm sitting around, and he's on my agenda, if you will, for the week, trying to, you know, get message put together last minute and that type of thing. But I want to give the guy a call, because how rude of me would it be to talk about him and talk about, okay, we're going to reestablish this relationship, and I share it publicly, only not to do it. That would be completely horrible. So I'm sitting there, and my phone rings. I'll give you one guess who it was on Wednesday night. Glenn. Is that not sick? Like, that is just, I answered the phone. I was like, God is so good. It was so weird. So he's actually left for Africa himself. He's spending a month in Uganda, and he called to ask if I would pray for him on Sundays. So this is like my day, so I'm focusing on him and his trip. And here's the cool thing, like, so we're reconnecting. Like, it was weird. We talked for like 45 minutes, and it was like we just talked yesterday. So it's one of those cool things, and we talked about relationships. I'm going to tell you, God's the same way. You may not talk to him for a while, but the moment you do, it's like you know time has passed. But here's the cool thing I want you to know. He and his team are going to Uganda specifically to pray for Cleveland. They are going on behalf of Cleveland, and going with a very strong, powerful prayer team that is there in Uganda, and crying out to God from this prayer mountain, if you will, on Cleveland's behalf. So expect when he gets back, we're going to pray with him, and I'm hoping maybe we even bring him in one Sunday here and let him do cool things. But God is good. You know, the last few times I spoke, it really was in areas where God was just convicting me. Which makes it a challenging thing to talk about. When God's tearing me from the inside out, now I got to share it. That means I got to bring you guys on board with where God is shining a light and a magnifying glass into my life. So I thank God this time that he's given me a break from that, because, you know, we're going to go into an area where I feel is one of my strengths. So this time I get to be like, whew, okay, thanks, God. I get to back off on that. Alex asked, he's like, dude, don't do the parable of the son. I want to do that. That's my favorite one. So we're going to skip past that, and we're going to go into Luke 17. So if you want to go there, it's page 896 of your Bible in front of you. So we're going to talk about service, and here's the thing. It is where I am most comfortable. I love serving people. Almost to a fault, quite honestly, because I can hide myself behind it sometimes. Like, it's easy for me. Like I've shared before, I'm really can be an introvert sometimes. And so when I'm at an event and we're doing things and we're serving, it's easy for me to tie in to doing something instead of connecting with people. So that it's almost to a fault, quite honestly, and I have to protect myself against it. But I just love doing it. And I want to, a couple weeks ago, Alex shared that, you know what, we're making some big headway on Nexus right now. And even more since he shared that. Like, we are gaining more momentum than I've seen ever, quite possibly, since we've shared the vision with the church. And if you're new with us, I want to kind of share what this Nexus thing is, because it's important and it really stems from who I am. Nexus' idea of Gateway is going to own a coffee house in downtown Cleveland. And I'm going to share from my perspective of why would a church own a coffee house? That seems silly. I love serving people, and I love to see other people connect to serve. And if you know anything about a coffee house, it becomes this type of third place. So like it's not quite your office, it's not quite your home. It's this in between where you get to come and community builds. Well, that's what Nexus is part of. My goal is through serving people, just letting them see my heart and being able to take care of them, to see them pleased, to see them well taken care of, that I can connect them into service within Cleveland. That we're not just going to serve in the coffee house, but through that they might be coming for coffee and see that, hey, we're going to plant flowers next month. Do you want to come join us? And then they get to tie into service in Cleveland. But through those relationships, get to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And whether they come to know him or not, they come to know that he is a God that is good and believes in Cleveland. I think Cleveland needs to be told that we believe in her. And that's long story, that's kind of what Nexus is. For me, it's the place where I get to serve in the capacity that God's given me. He gave me culinary talents. I never went to school to do this. I'm self-taught, if you will, and I want to use my gifts for God's glory and to see other people learn how to do the same. One of the things I plan on doing is finding a young man that maybe is a father before he probably should have been, and give him a career. Let's bring him in. Let's teach him how to cook. Let's teach him how to run a restaurant, and give him a way that he can support his family. Because God's taught me that way. I didn't know how to love. But God brought me in, and he brought me under his shoulders. He taught me by loving me how to love others, and it's kind of my hope that I can do the same for other people. So this subject of service for me is exciting, invigorating. It's just cool stuff. So let's catch a check on this parable here, and we're going to be in Luke 17. We're going to start in verse 7. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, "Come in and eat with me"? No. He says, "Prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later." And does the master thank the servant for doing what he is told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, "We are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty." I'm going to admit that reading that, the first part of me is to scream, "I don't serve anybody. How dare you talk to me that way and treat me that way? I work for you and you don't even say thank you?" Let's be honest. Reading this, there is a part of, at least me, and something tells me I'm not alone, that this goes against every grain that you are. We do not like authority, especially authority that speaks to us in that manner. We rebel against it. We push against it. When we do have an authority figure in our life, most of the time the reason we can become okay with it is we think we can attain that level of authority ourselves, which is true, like in our workplace. If we work hard enough and we do our job, one day we'll get to be that figure of authority. But now we're reading a parable where God is this figure of authority, and I'll admit, I want to rebel against that part of God. I can't attain that, obviously, and I just want to rebel against it. How dare God talk to me in that manner? It's a horrible thing, but it's true. And from this vantage point, if I was to give in to this part of me that's screaming that, I'm going to see a God that's a slave driver that doesn't care about me, that is, he's not nice. That he's going to work us to the bone all day long only to have me come home, and instead of me getting to sit down and eat after I worked all day long. God, I worked all day. I'm tired. I want to come home. I want to turn on the TV. I want to sit back with a TV dinner in front of me, and I just want to relax. And you want me to make you dinner? And you're not even going to tell me thank you? You're probably going to want me to clean that up too, aren't you, when you're done? I know marriages like this, though. Maybe you've known a marriage like that, or you've seen a couple like that, they're just begrudging when there's a task to be done. I got to put the dishes away again. Why didn't she put the dishes away? Or I told him to put the trash out. Do I have to tell him every week to put the trash out? Why doesn't he? And every time you got to do that task, some task, you get a bigger grudge for that other person. How dare they? What are they doing? You ever seen those relationships? It's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? That's a relationship that's not joyful. It's not fun to be in. And it's a shame. Because I don't think that's the way it's meant to be. And we're going to go to the flip side of how we can view it. But first I want to check on the good part of what we can grab out of this is, first of all, we need to acknowledge that God is God. you know, I'm an emotional person, and I connect with the emotional side of God, and I like to picture God as my Savior, as my lover, as my creator, as my sovereign Lord. That can be a little tougher struggle, but he is equally that. I want to try something to see if this will work or not, to see if I can put in perspective of how huge and how awesome God is. So what I want you to do, everyone take their finger and look at their finger and literally try, look at your finger and look for the grooves in your fingerprint. Those are unique to you. Every person on the planet has different grooves. How small, how tiny, a little bug can fit on that finger. It shows the detailness that God puts into his creation. He has bugs that'll fit on your finger right now that have full organ systems like we have. That small, that tiny. Now I want you to stop looking at your finger and look around you. Bigger community. God created us big. Now I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to picture yourself in an airplane looking down on the earth. You can see some detail. You can see some buildings, some mountainsides, some general landscapes. But it's a lot bigger, and you can't even really see people at this point. Nonetheless, that little bug that might have been sitting on your finger. Now pull yourself back. Pretend you're pulling back and you're standing on the moon. You now can see the whole earth. You can kind of see the continents. You can see the oceans. You can see the air currents and the clouds. And you are not even a speck on there, but God created this earth and the atmosphere and the sea. Now, pull yourself to the edges of the galaxy or the edges of our solar system. Now, Earth looks kind of like a star, just a small glimpse. You can't see the mountainsides. You can't. Can barely make anything out other than just this light kind of tied in with all these other lights. Pull yourself back. Now you're looking in the Milky Way. Earth is not even anywhere to be seen, but you kind of see this cluster going on. And you can pull yourself back, and now not only are you looking on the Milky Way, you are looking on clusters of solar systems, clusters of galaxies. God created this all. From the tiny bug that you saw on your finger to the expanses of the cosmos that have left to be imagined. He is the creator of that. Can open your eyes. That is the God you serve. He is sovereign. If that is his creation, and that is how large his creation is, how much larger is he? You are his creation. The creation can never be greater than the Creator. While our part of us might scream out against this idea of we are to be his servant, I think it is wise and good to recognize our role in relationship to him and how huge he is. He paid the smallest amount of detail to your creation in just your fingertip. But he also created everything. And it's my hope that you get to put yourself and acknowledge that he is God. And let the side of you that is connected with him buy into the fact that being a servant is a rightful place to be. It's not bad. Now we have a choice in this though, in how you view being a servant. You can be like that bitter spouse that everything that they ask you to do, you just get angry. How dare they ask me to do that? You can go that way. God will let you. That's kind of the beautiful part about God. He's not going to force you to do anything. He invites you, but he doesn't force you. So you can live in that place if you want. Just like in a relationship with a spouse, if that's where you decide to hang out, don't expect you're going to have the best relationship with God. Not going to really work out so well. Or you can go to this other place. Have you ever done something for someone? Like you just kind of did something kind, something small. You know, it, really to you it was no big deal. It was just you were kind of looking out for their best interest. And they say thank you. There's a common response that maybe used to be used more than it is today, but it's a great response. Have you ever heard this when someone says thank you and say, it's my pleasure? Have you ever heard that? Now, we usually blow that off, and they're just like basically saying, you're welcome, right? I want you to think about that, though, of what it means when someone says, it's my pleasure. Now, they just did something, or you did something for them, and you're telling them, it's my pleasure. You are telling them it is your pleasure to serve them. It was your pleasure to bring joy to them. You ever been like that? See, that's why I love serving, because it is my pleasure to serve. I find my joy in making others happy. And if you don't get that part, think of Christmas morning. We give gifts. You give gifts to make the other person happy. You find your joy when they open up that gift and you get to see their face. This past Friday, Jeremy and I, we took the kids up to IX Indoor Amusement Park. We had a blast. Kids just kind of ran around, went on all the rides. But I found my pleasure in, did I go on any rides, Jeremy? I don't think I did. Did I? I don't think I did. No, I went on the slide. I did go on the slide. There was a big slide Nate wanted to go on, but he wasn't big enough to go on his own. My fun wasn't on any ride I went on. It was in watching my kids. It is this place in you finding pleasure that you see where this role of a servant becomes a joy. Where that you slaved all day in the field and you come home and your master says, hey, make me dinner. It's not a begrudging thing that he asked you that. You find it joy to go and do so. You find it joy to bring pleasure to your master. That is a beautiful place to be. And there's an aspect of this where you need to view others greater than yourself. Where do you place yourself? That big universe that we sat and pictured, where are you in it? Oftentimes, we put ourselves as the center of it. Let's be honest. I do. And the more you put yourself in the center, the more you begrudge when someone asks you to do something for them. How dare you? I'm the king of the universe. How dare you ask me to do that? Why don't you do that? I'm sitting here relaxing. However, when we acknowledge that God is the creator of all the universe and it all circles around him, it is all held together by him, we get to play a different role. It's my pleasure to play my role in there. You know, I remember in the restaurant business, you know, some days were long. Some days were really long, 16, 17, 18-hour days. I remember there were days like we'd have parties in the morning, parties at night. I remember more than once I actually slept on the restaurant floor. I remember once we had opened Saucy Bistro and we had some big stuff going on, and I think I got to bed about 3 or 4 in the morning, and I say bed by the floor of the dining room. So about 4 in the morning, I finally lay my head down in the dining room, and 5 o'clock, people turn on the lights and turn on all the music in the restaurant. I thought I was going to pee myself. I was scared to death by it, but I was dead asleep, and it was time to get up and do it again. I was exhausted. And during that, people wanted things. You know, it might be the end of the night, and I'm exhausted, and in comes that last customer 5 minutes after close. I'll be honest, I find it my joy to get up and serve them. To reach into my depths and pull out that last bit of energy I have left. Because I want to make them happy. You know, each of us, not everyone's going to connect with that. I'm sure there's some people sitting here saying, you're freaking nuts, Mickey. I would tell them to go home. I get that. And each of us have areas where we're good at. And that's why I'm kind of happy to finally be like, oh, I get this one. Woohoo! But there's this cool thing, and we have to learn a balance. We have to learn when it's appropriate to be the servant and acknowledge that God is a sovereign God. And when we're having fun with him. And when we acknowledge him as a savior. Last week, we're sitting at the dinner table, and Mackenzie can be quite the smart aleck. I'm not sure where she gets it. I think it's Kylie. Happy birthday, by the way, honey. It's not Kylie. It's completely me. But so I decide, okay, this is a good opportunity. But she said it. Made a smart aleck comment that was super funny. I was like, accolades on that. But it was inappropriate. It was disrespectful to me. And so I was like, okay, we're going to use this as a learning opportunity. Okay, I dug how amusing that was. But do you remember when you were learning how to ride your bike? And she's like, yeah. Remember you fell down quite a bit and you hurt yourself? She's like, yeah. But now you can ride and it's all sorts of fun, right? And she's like, yeah. I was like, well, learning to use your sarcasm is going to be really similar to that. Because you're going to use it sometimes and you're going to use it inappropriately, either at the wrong time or to the wrong person. And it's going to be disrespectful and you're going to get your butt into trouble. Do you get that? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, this was one of those times. But that's so true that you know what? I want her to use her sarcasm. For me, sarcasm is a good coping mechanism sometimes. Again, to a fault. Sometimes I still get myself hurt falling off the bike of sarcasm and use it inappropriately. But I'm trying to teach her that. Well, the same thing is with God. You know what? We need to acknowledge when it's okay to vent our frustrations to God and how it's okay to vent our frustrations to God. And when we need to acknowledge that, hey, you're dad and I'm not going to cross you. See, while I joke around with her and I am her friend and I'll always be her biggest supporter, I'm still her father. I'm still her authority figure. I want her to joke around. I want her to experiment and learn who she is. I want her to push her boundaries. But within that, she needs to learn where I fit within those boundaries, who I am, the level of respect she must give me, my expectations for her within my household as my child. In this parable, I see God doing the same thing with us. Saying you have to acknowledge your role. I want to give you your freedom. I want to love you. I want to save you from what could be yourself, just as I do with my child sometimes. But you need to acknowledge I am God. And you are an unworthy servant. And if that still is like a little thorn in your side to be told an unworthy servant, switch yourself into a marriage relationship where you're found pleasure in doing little things for that person. Russ and Kendall, the newlyweds, do you still find joy in maybe just cleaning the house while the other's gone and they come home to a surprise and like, oh, it's clean? It's those type of things. Man, you're tired at the end of the day and maybe your spouse is at work and you whip up a little dinner, Ambrose. And you're like, dude, I'm going to surprise her with dinner. And you're tired. You don't, If it was just you, you probably would have thrown something in the microwave. But man, it's through you being tired, yet taking that extra step and making some dinner, that you show how much you love your spouse. And when they come home and they eat that meal or see that clean house, and they say, "Thank you, dear," you get to say, "It was my pleasure. I can't answer you what that looks like in your relationship with God. It might just be entering into that relationship is the first step for you right now. And acknowledging that while, yes, God is our master, it's from love that this all stems. And this first step for you just might be coming into that relationship where you don't view him as a slave driver, because that's not the way I see my God. While, yes, I'm an unworthy servant, in the scope of the universe and how huge he is, I think it's understandable. He deserves to be in that place. But that I get to make dinner for him? He asks me to put on an apron and serve him? The creator of the universe, I get to be that close with him? Is beautiful. And if it's still a thorn in your side that you have to serve God, he tells us something about serving him and doing so with a grateful heart that I'm talking about. That when we deem others greater than ourselves, when we put others before ourselves, he promises a reward for us when we get to join with him, when we're one day married with him in heaven. And that he will share his glory with us. We are his servants. You know, this is not a forced labor for me. I don't come to Christ. I don't serve God. I don't go into Nexus begrudging the work I have to do. Most of the time. There's times. Let's be honest. There's times, man. I'm just so inward focused that it's all I can do to get up and come to church. It happens to the best of us. We're human. But all in all, dude, to come prepare this message this morning and to share it, this blows any cooking out of the water for me. Dude, I'll do this instead of cook any day, and I love to cook. I love to see the look on people's faces when they take that bite and it's just like euphoria. You know the look I like better? When I look out into this audience and I see that gleam in your eye where I know God spoke to you. Where you get something. Where God just told you something and it clicked. That blows that look of awesome flavor out of the water. It's phenomenal. And it's my joy to do so. My pleasure. And you want to? Here's a cool part about when you enter into this place. And I recommend, John Piper writes a book. It's really cool. It's Desiring God. And he really goes into this. He calls this whole thing Christian hedonism. Hedonism is really where you're out for life for your own enjoyment, no matter what the cost. He calls this Christian hedonism. Think of this. So if my greatest joy is in bringing you and really God pleasure, my greatest joy, I am a hedonist. I get more joy. The more joy I bring you, the more joy I give me. So give me more. Give me more. Give me more opportunities to serve, because that is where my soul just leaps. So again, I don't know where this is for you. Think of your trade. Maybe you're really into your trade. I don't know what you do for a living. That might be what you give. You know, in Nexus, I have the joy to be able to use all these things together. I get to teach. I get to cook. It's like a... Dude, you might as well put me in heaven at that point. Like, if that's awesome. I don't know what it is for you. Here's the thing. I want you to find it. And if you don't know what it is, just start serving. Find some place, somehow. Try it out. It might be something simple. We have greeters that met you at the door today. Serving. Small, easy step. You get to say hi to people. Maybe people wig you out right now, and you're like, whoa, I'm not ready for that. Oh, these people are a little weird. We are. But you're weird, too. I hate to break it to you. We're all weird. Maybe you could come help and set up, you know, put the popcorn boxes out. Maybe it's not just about here, because it's not about Gateway. Gateway is not about itself. Maybe you come with us and we go serve someplace, someone's, feed the homeless. You know, we work with Wessum. Maybe we come to the carnival and you're just making some cotton candy, man. Start somewhere. Serve. I will make this challenge to you. I challenge you to find, if you have more joy in serving someone else than you do in serving yourself in some manner. Challenge you. Test it. Push it. See how far you can take this test and come back and tell me. I would love to hear it. I know a God that loves me, that adores me. He is my God and my Father, and I have to acknowledge him as that, but it is my pleasure to serve him. That's where I go today. Here's your GPS, your good practical stuff for the day. When we are truly in love with our God, the thought of being a servant not only becomes acceptable, it is what will bring us clarity, purpose, and an overwhelming joy to our lives. I'll give it again because I know Mike Butts is writing it down. When we truly are in love with our God, the thought of being his servant not only becomes acceptable, it is what will bring clarity, purpose, and an overwhelming joy to our lives. It's about our love relationship. Still have to acknowledge him as my Father, as Sovereign Lord. But I love him more than my wife. And while I busted my butt yesterday morning with the kids trying to clean the house so she could come home from the retreat and not have to worry about it, she came home earlier. I didn't get to do laundry. I was really disappointed by that. While as much as that brings me joy to do that for her, to do that for God brings it more so. And here's a beautiful part that if you don't get this, catch on to it. When I do it for Kylie, or I do it for someone else, when I do it for those less deserving, that's when I do it for God. Jesus tells us straight up, those that you do for the least of these, you do for me. So when I take care of someone else, I'm taking care of Jesus. When I give clothes to someone that may not have clothes, I'm giving clothes to Jesus. I'm giving food to someone that doesn't have food, I'm feeding Jesus. End of the day, I'm tired. I just want to sit on the couch and be lazy. I fight against that. Because I know my joy is found not on the couch, but in my service. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, right now, Lord, I pray to anyone, pray for anyone rather, that might see you as that slave driver. That might see you as the one that is a taskmaster, putting us to work. Lord, that they see a new side of you this morning. While you have every right to tell me what to do, you are the creator of the universe, the creator that all is good. You are larger than anything I can imagine. You have every right to order me around. The truth is, you invite me to do so. You invite me to find myself and find the joy of my life in serving. And truly, I am unworthy. I know my heart better than anyone in this room, but not as well as you. You know, and I know, I am unworthy. Lord, I'm unworthy to even touch your sandals. Yet you invite me into your baptism. Lord, you are so good. You give us graces that I can't speak of. I don't think any word I spoke this morning or could ever speak in my life holds a candle to how good and the graces are you give us. So I pray hard for those of us that where that thorn of being a servant sticks in our side. And Lord, it should make us uncomfortable. But I find everything I am in that. Everything I long to be in that. Lord, maybe first time this morning someone wants to enter into that love relationship where they can stop yelling at you every time you ask them something. Knowing that you do it like any relationship, you choose to do it with us. That we're in it together. I don't get why you do that when you are the creator of the whole universe. But I thank you for it. But I pray for that person that they can enter into that for this morning. Or at least become curious about it. Lord, I give you this morning. I give you this time. I thank you for just being you, Lord. And truly, I tell you, it is my joy. It is my joy, it is my pleasure. I know you don't have to tell me thank you. Regardless of what you tell me, it is my pleasure to serve you, the most awesome, loving, perfect God, the one true God. It is my pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.